thanks to the Lord in a word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee tonight, and then through the precious, all-worthy name of our Savior, we ask, O God, tonight for Thy presence and for Thy help in this gospel meeting. Come and be one of our number, we pray, and pour out Your Spirit upon us, we ask of Thee. So be with us and continue with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Hymn number 203 is our opening hymn this evening. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within. Mercy I did implore. 203, and we'll stand as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's stand and sing.
Christ, my Savior.
Well, let's seek the Lord again, please, in prayer, and let's ask for His help and His presence with us this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for that love of which we have been singing. We thank Thee, O God, tonight that each one in this meeting who's saved, that we're loved by God, we're loved of God. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for that great love wherewith You've loved us. We praise Thee, Lord, tonight that it is a love beyond all human love. Lord, it is a love that our human minds can never be able to fully comprehend or grasp. And yet, O God, we thank Thee tonight that He loved us so much that He sent His Son into this world to be our Savior. And O God, we come to Thee tonight, Lord, on the basis of that great love. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that in love and mercy Jesus came, Lord, my soul to reclaim. And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight that You have loved us with a love right on to death. We praise Thee, O God, that one day that love will bring us home to glory. And yet, O God, tonight it is our prayer. It is our desire, Lord, for others in this meeting, out of Christ without a Savior, Lord, with no hope in this world, and Lord, no hope for the world yet to be. O God, we pray that tonight You would come. Speak to their hearts, we pray. Lord, open their hearts, Lord, to the gospel. Save them, Lord, by Thy matchless grace. Lord, make this a night of salvation. Lord, make this a saving place tonight, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that sinners will be arrested and awakened out of the slumber of sleep that they're in. And, O God, we pray that tonight You'll bring the lost to Thyself. Lord, do something new amongst us, we pray. Pour out Your Spirit upon us in the most remarkable way. And, Lord, we pray that we might be very conscious that God is here. And, Father, we pray that You'll bless each and all who have gathered in the house of the Lord tonight. We pray, Lord, that You'll come and meet with us. Lord, minister, Lord, Thy presence to us, we pray. And, Heavenly Father, we pray that we might know that God is here. We ask, O God, tonight for those not able to join with us, Lord, for all who are unwell at this time in hospital or in home in nursing care tonight, we pray that You'll be pleased to minister to them. Touch them, we pray. Strengthen them in their mortal frame and bring them back once again to the house of God, we pray. Our Father, we pray this evening that You'll come up with us, bless in this gospel meeting, we pray. We ask, O God, that You'll bless every part of it. Pray for our brother Nathan as he ministered to us in song. Encourage and bless him, and may he know great help even as he would sing, Lord, the gospel to us this evening. Bless us around the Word of God. And then, Lord, a little later, bless us, Lord, as we would sit around the table of the Lord, as we would remember His death in His own appointed way. Come and meet with us tonight, we pray. We ask, O God, that You'll bless the going forth of Thy Word across this land and across our nation. O God, we acknowledge the darkness of this age, but, O God, we thank Thee tonight that Christ is still the light of the world. And so, our Father, we pray, Lord, shine the light into darkened hearts, we pray. Lord, into this nation that has gone far from Thee. Lord, we pray that You'll be pleased to reveal Thyself. Lord, drive back the forces of sin and evil, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we ask, O God, that You would be pleased to flood this land once again with truth and with righteousness. Remember all those who are serving Thee in far-off lands. We ask, O God, that You'll remember our missionaries tonight, encourage them and bless them. Remember, Lord, the persecuted church. Remember, Lord, those who cannot meet in public such as we can. Lord, strengthen their faith tonight, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You would be pleased to overturn, Lord, the plans of evil and wicked rulers, Lord, for the church of Christ. O God, we thank Thee this evening that we are on the victory side. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that Christ has won and secured that once and for all victory for sin for us. And our Father, we pray that tonight we might stand in that victory this evening. And O God, we pray that even sinners will come and stand in that victory as well. No forgiveness of sins and peace with God. So do our hearts good, we pray. Continue with us. Give us help just now. And bless us, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. We are delighted to welcome back to Sandown this evening our brother Nathan. Also glad to be with me and children with us as well. We welcome you all. And we're going to ask you to come and sing for us just now. Nathan, please. Lord bless you.
Well, Good evening, everyone. It is a joy and a privilege to be here tonight to minister in song. I thank you, Minister, for the invitation to come here tonight. Jesus says in the Gospels, "Come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest from the trials and the cares of this life, and most importantly, rest from your sin. And this first song I'm singing tonight is called "Come Walk With Me."
And along life's way, I stumbled in the darkness. My blinded eyes had caused my feet to roam. Then I met the Lord, who spoke to me so sweetly, "Come walk with me, and I will lead you home. Come walk with me, the way is straight and narrow. Come walk with me, you dare not walk alone. For the road is rough, and there are many dangers. Christ, my blessed Savior, I do not fear, for I am not alone. He guides me through this life with all its sorrow, and someday soon He'll lead me safely. Come walk with me, the way is straight and narrow. Come walk with me, you dare not walk alone. For the road is rough, and there are many dangers. Come walk with me, I will lead you home. So if you come to Christ, He'll be your Savior. And day by day, He will lead you by the hand. He'll keep you safe until you come to glory. Walk with me, the way is straight and narrow. Come walk with me, you dare not walk alone. For the road is rough, and there are many dangers. Come walk with me, I will lead you home. Come walk with me, and I will lead you home. There is one gospel on which I stand for all eternity. It is my story, my Father's plan. The Son has rescued me. Oh, what a gospel, oh, what a peace. my highest joy and my deepest need. Now and forever, He is my life. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is one gospel to which I cling. All else I count as loss. For there where justice and mercy meet, He saved me on. No more I boast in what I can bring. No more I carry the weight of sin. For He has brought me from death to life. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is one gospel where hope is found. The empty tomb still speaks, for death could not keep my Savior down. He lives and I am free. Now on my Savior I fix my eyes. My life is His and His hope is mine. For He has promised I too will rise. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this gospel the church is one. We do not walk alone. We have His Spirit as we press on to lead us safely home. And when in glory still I will sing of this old story that rescued me. Praise to my Savior, the King of life. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise to my Savior, the King of life. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And thank you very much for your help this evening. Blessed by your ministry and song, we look forward to hearing from you in just a wee moment's time. Can I at this stage welcome you all along tonight to our gospel meeting, and we welcome you warmly in the Saviour's name, and we appreciate your presence and your support with us here tonight. Those who are visiting, we welcome you as well, and we pray the Lord will bless you as you meet with us. Also to those who are watching online, we extend that welcome to you. Can I again, on behalf of our congregation, express our sympathy, first of all, to our brother Jason McCullough on the death of Jason's mother, and also to Richard and Helen Scott on the death, sudden death of Helen's nephew over in England. And to these dear people, we extend our sympathies, and may they know the grace of God and God's grace, peace, and mercy at this time of loss. Immediately after the gospel meeting tonight, we'll meet around the Lord's table. And if you know and love the Lord, walking in fellowship with Him, then we encourage you to wait behind for that little time around the table of the Lord tonight. Tuesday night, our Explorers Bible Club at 6:30 here in the church. And also on Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, is our Bible study and prayer meeting. Also on Friday night, 8 o'clock, is our youth fellowship. Next Lord's Day, services 11:30 and 6:30. Our Sunday school's 10:15 in the morning and 2:15 in the afternoon. And we have as well the prayer meetings before each of the main services. Next Lord's Day evening is our monthly family and friends night service, and our brother, the Reverend Ronnie McCracken, will be along to testify for us next Sunday night in the will of the Lord. We had our brother some time back, and we enjoyed his ministry, and we're looking forward to him coming to tell us of what the Lord did for him. A rough lad brought up in the rough area of Tigers Bay in North Belfast, and yet the Lord reached into his life and saved him, and we're delighted that he's able to come and share his testimony. Also, our sister Joanna McCammon will be along to sing, and there'll be supper afterwards as well for everyone. Then on Thursday, the 23rd of February, that's a note for our elders and deacons that we have a meeting of our session and committee. Also on Thursday, the 9th of March, for all those who are working with our children and young people, then please remember that, keep that night free. We're asking you please to be there for a special meeting we're having in relation to the child protection safeguarding policies and the various matters relating to the children's work. So please, if you are involved in the work, then please do keep that free. That's Thursday, the 9th of March. Remember the offering boxes, they're available for you as you leave for your tithes and for your offerings. We make all of these announcements, as always, subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to sing another hymn together. It's the hymn number 609, Love Divine, So Great and Wondrous, Deep and Mighty, Pure Sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through tests of time. 609, and we'll stand as we sing this hymn, please. Ask our brother Nathan if he'd come again, please. and sing for us. Thank you.
As they gambled for the robe he wore, they chose a worldly trail, not thinking about eternity, as the soldiers drove the nails. Will we learn from what they've done, or make the same mistake? Jesus or the world, my child, which one will you take? I'll take Jesus. I'll take Jesus. I've tried those worldly pleasures and they fail. When you hear the voice of Jesus, and you hear the Master call, me or the world, my child, which one will you take? When the pages are my life had turned and time has rolled away, the greatest deeds that I have done won't help me on that day. And all my earthly treasures that I have laid away, they'll be to me just a memory. And this you'll hear me say, I'll take Jesus. I'll take Jesus. I've tried those worldly pleasures and they fail. When you hear the voice of Jesus and you hear the Master call, me or the world, my child, which one will you take? I'll take Jesus. I'll take Jesus. I've tried those worldly pleasures and they fail. When you hear the voice of Jesus, and you hear the Master say, me or the world, my child, which one will you take? Me or the world, my child, which one will you?
Thank you again for your help tonight. We appreciate all those who come each Sunday evening to sing in the gospel. Appreciate them giving of their time and coming away from their own churches and their own congregations to be with us. And we appreciate your help, Nathan, tonight. Thank you, and the Lord continue to bless you as you minister for him. We're turning tonight in the gospel to the book of John, John's Gospel, chapter 17, please. John's Gospel, chapter 17. Last Sunday evening, We were looking at the soul's only anchor. We were in Hebrews chapter 6, and I was considering a new series for our prayer meeting in a few weeks' time, months' time. I'm not sure when that'll happen, and going to hopefully consider the words of John 17, this great high priestly prayer of the Savior. But as I was studying it this week, I came across something I didn't know before, and I trust that as we go through this message tonight that you'll see why we have come to this passage of Scripture. We want to speak tonight on the subject of my first anchor. But let's read together from John 17 and the verse number 1. We'll just read the first 9 verses of this chapter together, please. John 17 and the verse number 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I am come out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Verse 3 is where we want to center our thoughts upon this evening. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. With God's word open before us, let's just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this evening for thy presence with us already in this meeting. We thank thee, O God, for the messages and song that have been brought to our hearts. We ask, O God, that you'll continue to bless Nathan and his ministry, encourage him and be with him. And bless us now around the word of God. We ask, O God, that you would be pleased, Lord, to speak. Lord, in the gospel this evening we pray, O God, speak with that voice that wakes the dead. Lord, we pray tonight for help from heaven to rightly divide the scriptures of truth. Lord, that we might know exactly what to say and how to say it. But, O God, we realize that our words, Lord, are ineffective of themselves. Lord, take thy word, we pray. Apply it by the Spirit of God to hearts, we pray. Open hearts in this meeting tonight. And pour out your Spirit, we pray. And presence thyself with us. Give us help tonight. Lift our hearts heavenward, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. It was August 1572 when John Knox had returned to his beloved Edinburgh. He had earlier in that year become somewhat ill. He was struck with pneumonia and he became bedridden. And as the weeks of the years passed, and all that year passed, he realized that he needed to get back home to Edinburgh. His condition was worsening. And in November the 24th, 1572, surrounded by his wife Margaret and his longtime friend Richard Bannatyne, they were reading the scriptures to John Knox, and at one point he looked at his wife Margaret and he said to her, "Will you read to me where I cast my first anchor?" And immediately his wife knew where she was to turn to. And she turned to John 17 and the verse number 3. And she read these words, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Margaret, the wife of John Knox, knew that it was through these words of verse number 3 that John Knox first cast anchor for his soul in Jesus Christ many years previous. And as she continued to read on through John 17, "And while his voice was weak, yet he turned to his wife and said, 'What a comfort this chapter really is.'" And particularly the words of verse 3. Because it was there that John Knox came to a saving personal relationship with Jesus Christ and entered into the eternal life that is spoken of here in John 17 and the verse 3. This was where John Knox, the great Scottish reformer, first cast anchor for his soul. And this evening in the gospel, we want to consider these words where John Knox cast his anchor. That anchor that was to save him, that anchor that was to secure him, and then just a little later on, that anchor that was to bring him safely home. And this evening, as we come to the gospel for tonight, if you are here without the Lord Jesus Christ and know nothing of his salvation, I trust that this is where you will cast anchor for your soul as well. You see, as we considered last Lord's Day evening, without Christ, your soul is drifting. Without the Savior, you're drifting to a lost eternity. But in Christ, you can have the great security, an anchor that your soul so desperately needs. John 17, as we've said, is the great high priestly prayer of the Savior. Right at the very start of this prayer, he makes this most clear and this most profound of all statements concerning life, eternal life. You see, folks, tonight it is important to realize that life is not life unless it is eternal life. Real life, life that lasts, life that satisfies, is not the life that we have by nature. We all have a form of life. Our heart is beating. We are breathing. There's life within each one of us at this moment. But have you eternal life? Eternal life, which John Knox came to realize as a young lad, could only be found through Jesus Christ. Up until that point, he realized that he only had a mere existence, devoid of any real satisfaction or meaning. John Knox realized that he needed something more. And so he cast his anchor in Christ. And through it he had eternal life. And so it is to the subject of eternal life that we want to consider this evening in the gospel. Very simply, I trust. I want us to notice, first of all, here there's the explanation of eternal life. The explanation of eternal life. Lord Jesus Christ says, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." You see, eternal life, by definition, is a knowledge of God. Eternal life is knowing God. In society today, we are told that knowledge is power. And the more you know, the more knowledge you have, the more power you can have. It can open all sorts of doors to you in different spheres of life. Many are obsessed with gaining greater knowledge, a greater understanding, and there's nothing wrong with gaining greater knowledge at all. But a greater knowledge of any given subject, whatever that might be, it will in many minds equate to a better standard of life and a better degree of living. The more you know, the more you feel that life has significance. But that is not the knowledge that is spoken of here. That is not the knowledge that will lead to eternal life. The source of eternal life is a knowledge not of the things of this world, but a knowledge of God, that they might know thee. It's not an academic knowledge, it's not a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge. And there are many today who are professors of religion, and they lecture even on religion. When I was at university, there were those who lectured on theology, and they were the biggest reprobates you could ever meet. They rationalized the Bible. They reasoned the Bible. They did not want to have a knowledge of the God of the Bible. And as such, there was no eternal life. They had no knowledge of God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He sent. What does it mean to have a knowledge of God? What does it mean tonight to know God? What does it mean to understand God? Let me suggest some ways that a knowledge of God is most essential to eternal life. A knowledge of God is to have a knowledge of the character of God, of who God is. We live in a world today that thinks God, for those who believe in God, that thinks that He's some remote, abstract being that has no interest or no concern in this world. And then on the other side of the spectrum, there are those who think that God is some fluffy, woolly, lovely individual. There is not this character of God, this knowledge of the character of God that is so essential. Who is God? What is God? Well, God, first and foremost, is holy. Holy. That was the attribute of God that the angels magnified more than anything else, His holiness. Holy, holy, holy. He is holy. He is just. And you know, folks, whenever we get that true knowledge of the character of God, of who He is, it will lead us to realize just how sinful we really are in the sight of a holy God. Do you have this knowledge of God tonight? Of the character of God, that He is holy? There's not only a knowledge of the character of God, but there's also a knowledge of the condemnation before God. You see, before God tonight, because of who He is, because of His character, that He is holy, all men, women, young people stand condemned because of sin. And this is where many will not want to agree with you all. Many do not want to own up to the reality that they're sinners before God, condemned. Condemned because of the holiness of God. Condemned because of who God is. Lost. We're sinners. And the anger of God and the wrath of God abides upon the head of the sinner. A knowledge of the character of God, a knowledge of the condemnation of God, but also a knowledge of the compassion of God. And you see, many, whenever they talk about God, they put it the other way around. They start off with His compassion. They start off with the love of God, but we'll never fully understand the love of God until we know who God really is. You'll never be able to grasp the greatness and the majesty of the gospel of Christ, that God sent His Son into this world to be our Savior, until first we realize who God is, that He is holy, that no sin can stand before Him, that we are condemned before Him, and yet it is to such sinners that God sent His Son to be our Savior. That's the knowledge of God tonight that will lead to eternal life. And notice where it all pivots, verse 3. The only true God and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. How can we know God? How did God reveal himself to humanity? He revealed himself through his Son. Through his Son. How can we know God tonight? Through Christ. How can I know who God is? Through Christ. How can I be accepted before God tonight? Through Christ. No person can have this saving knowledge of God only through Jesus Christ. This verse clearly states that eternal life is so inextricably linked to the person and to the work of Jesus Christ. The verses that we read, verse 4 especially, talks about the Lord finishing the work that the Father gave him to do. What was that work? That was the work of redemption. That was the work of Jesus Christ coming into this world in order to redeem, to reconcile the sinner to God. We can only know God through Christ. He's our only mediator. He's the only one who stands between God and men. And he's the one through whom we can come to God and we can know God. The life-giving knowledge of the Father and the Son is through the saving power of Christ. He who is the express image of God. He who is God incarnate. He who is God revealed in the flesh. He who is God revealed in his word. And if you're ever going to know God tonight, it is through Jesus Christ. Those well-known words of John 14 and 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And speaking about his Father, speaking about heaven, speaking about the place where his Father is, he says, he's the only way. He's the only way. You see, tonight the gospel is exclusive. The gospel is exclusive because tonight there is no gospel apart from Jesus Christ. There is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. There is no eternal life tonight without a knowledge of God, and we can only have that knowledge through Jesus Christ. Over in 1 John, one of the epistles of John, he says that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. But he's going to say that he that hath not the Son hath not life. You go out onto the Sandown Road tonight, you go up onto the Newton Arts Road tonight, and you ask people, what is life? What's life all about? And they'll give you a variety of answers. For them, life's their home. For them, life's their family. Maybe for others, their life's their business, their hobbies, whatever. Life, true life, lasting life can only be found in Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life, eternal life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. You see, this eternal life is found alone in Jesus Christ. Through a knowledge of God through him. I wonder this evening, do you have such a knowledge? Do you have such an understanding of who God is? I'm not asking you tonight, do you know about God? I'm not asking you tonight, do you know about the Word of God and be able to debate the finer things of God? I'm asking you tonight, do you know God through Jesus Christ? Have you a personal relationship with Him? Are you saved? Are you saved? Do you have this eternal life tonight? Or do you just have a form of existence? Oh, that tonight you would have eternal life, that life which is only found through Jesus Christ. There's the explanation of it. There's also the experience of it. The experience of eternal life. Many will tell you tonight their experience in life. Things are okay. Things are going well. Everything seems rosy, and there's nothing really to worry about. Life is good. But sinner, in this meeting tonight, if this life is all you have, then I have to tell you on the authority of God's Word, then you're in for a rude awakening come the day of judgment. If you think that this life is the best life and the greatest life, there'll come a day when you realize that there's life beyond the grave and the life without Jesus Christ and a lost eternity in hell. This life that you're experiencing now is not life. It's just an existence, just getting through. You need to experience eternal life. The Scriptures talk about new life. How do you get that new life? It's by having a new birth. A new birth. About being born again. You remember how Nicodemus engaged the Lord in conversation? A scholar of the law, knew the things of God, could argue, could debate, knew all about religion, and yet he didn't know God in a saving personal relationship. He didn't have eternal life. He didn't have this knowledge of God through Christ. He thought he had it through religion, but he didn't. And Christ said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again in order to have eternal life. You need to be saved. Nicodemus, the life you have is not life. You need a new life. You need to be born again. Sinner, in this meeting tonight, the life that you have without Jesus Christ is not life. It's not life. The life that you need, eternal life, can only be found through Jesus Christ. It can be attained through the saving, redemptive work of Christ on the cross. He died that you might live. He died that you might have eternal life. He died that you might never die. Jesus Christ gave His all on the cross that you might have this eternal life through Him. And for that to happen, you need to be born again. Being born again means being born from above. Not a natural birth, but a supernatural birth. Speaks about being born of God, not of man. Because all who are born of man do not have eternal life. They do not experience eternal life, but all who are born of God do. We've already mentioned 1 John chapter 5. God hath given us eternal life. This life is in His Son. In His Son. Do you have this life tonight? As you sit in this meeting, in this gospel meeting tonight, do you have the experience of eternal life? Has there been a point in your life when you have been born again? Listen, you don't grow into salvation. You don't somehow merge into salvation. You're born of God, born again. And there is a point, there's a time when you're taken out of sin. Leave behind the old life of sin and you're born again of the Spirit of God. Has that been your experience? Young person, older person, have you the experience tonight of eternal life? Others around you might have it. Others in your family might have it. But that doesn't mean that you have it. You need to have it yourself. Just because parents are saved or grandparents are saved doesn't mean you're saved. You need to come and experience it for yourself. He that hath the Son hath life. Have you the Son tonight? Have you Jesus Christ ruling, reigning in your heart? Has there been that moment when your sins are forgiven? Have you come to Jesus Christ? Realize the wretchedness of your old life by nature. Cried unto God for mercy, for salvation, to experience this eternal life. There's the explanation of eternal life. There's the experience of eternal life. But finally, as we close, I want us to know there's the enjoyment of this eternal life. You look at verse 3 again, it says, this is life eternal. Eternal. It indicates something that's perpetual, it's ongoing, it's without an end. Eternal life is not merely about the quantity of life, but more especially it's about the quality of life. You see, eternal life is not something that begins when we get to heaven. If you're saved tonight, it's not that you have eternal life when you get to glory. You have eternal life the moment that by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, you've been taken out of your sin and brought into Christ. That's when eternal life commences. Yes, there'll be a greater and a fuller enjoyment of it in glory. But the moment you're saved, you enjoy eternal life. We're not in some sort of waiting period between now and glory. You can experience eternal life now, right now. You don't have to wait for death to experience it. Right now, right at this moment. Eternal life doesn't begin with death. It begins with faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. In John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Right now. You might be wandering aimless through this world with no real purpose, no real meaning, like thousands of people across this city tonight are. Yet you can come and enjoy eternal life through Jesus Christ. The focus here of this verse and in other verses concerning eternal life. It's not a focus on the future. It's a focus on how and what we have right now. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life. Now, presently, currently. You come to Jesus Christ, you'll have eternal life and you can enjoy that life. We were thinking about that this morning, our enjoyment of Christ throughout this life. And yes, as I've said, it is very true that when we get to glory, we'll have the fullest enjoyment of Christ. But right now, we can enjoy Him with the knowledge of sins forgiven, the assurance of a home in heaven, peace with God. Oh, that tonight you might come and enjoy this eternal life. Because we come to where we started. What is eternal life all about? What is the explanation of eternal life? It's knowing God. It's knowing God. And you see that moment that a sinner is born again and receives eternal life through Jesus Christ. You come to know God and your life is satisfied. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and you will not be disappointed. You will never meet a Christian. You will never meet one who is born again of God and say, the worst decision I ever made in life was the day I got saved. You'll never come to one who is dying on their deathbed and they're saved and they'll say, I regret that moment I got saved. Well, they thank God for that moment they got saved. And you will thank God for that moment as well. And that moment can be now. You can know God. You can experience Him tonight through Jesus Christ. Get to know Him every day for the rest of your life. Sinner, you might think that you're enjoying life, but there's so much more. There's so much more. You might have a form of life in this life, but in the life to come, you will be in total and abject misery. And despair. As you're cast out into outer darkness for all eternity in hell. Because if you reject Jesus Christ and reject the offer of eternal life, and you die as you are in your sin, you won't have eternal life, you will rather have eternal damnation. And for all of eternity, you will be punished for your sins in your body in hell. But you come to Christ tonight. You come to God through Jesus Christ tonight. You can experience eternal life because He on the cross took the wrath and the condemnation for your sin in His own body on the cross, that you might be saved and that you might experience eternal life. As John Knox, near the end of his life, he never forgot that place where he first cast anchor. John 17:3, this is life eternal. That they might know thee and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. John Knox knew where he cast anchor for his soul. Tonight, where is your anchor for eternity? Where, what are you depending upon tonight? Do you have eternal life? Or are you prepared for eternal damnation? Oh, that you would come tonight to Jesus Christ and experience all that there is to be found in Him. You come tonight, you will not be disappointed. He will not turn you away. You can leave this meeting with Christ, with joy, with peace, with contentment in your heart and life. Oh, that tonight you'll experience eternal life, which is only through Jesus Christ.